This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you, Keith, for the news. My name is Rich Bradbury, and this is Enterprise Biz Bytes. It is just after 12:03 on the 18th. I'm in the studio with
Frida Liu
and Audrey Raj.
The other terrible twosome joining us today. Arvin is not here. He's somewhere else doing his other stuff, you know, Arvin-y, uncle-y stuff, mocking him a little bit. If you'd like to get in touch with the show today, 01878988899 is the WhatsApp number. On Twitter or Instagram, we are at BFM Radio. We are talking today, I suppose, in a roundabout way, about efficiency and how we'd like to see certain things. I say certain things, I'm guessing a multitude of things, addressed here in Malaysia. And now the reason that we're talking about this is because we kind of revisited a story about a group of people that have been around for 125 years, the Dabbawalas of Mumbai, who are rated by Harvard Business School as being Six Sigma, meaning they make something like 3.4 mistakes in their delivery service for every 1 million that they make.
Less than 4 mistakes for every million deliveries.
Yes. So it's like 0.000 something.
They may as well not make any mistakes. And just a day ago, I ordered something from one of our online delivery services. One, it arrived late. Two, it arrived incorrect. Right?
Wow. And, talk about hangry.
And exactly. And that's the thing. Not only that, but I'm waiting 50 minutes for this service to arrive from somewhere that's no more than 5 minutes away. Ooh. And that was the thing that kind of, you know, got me a little bit peeved.
Irked
is a word that I would use, yeah. So just to quickly give you a little bit of information about the Dabbawalas. They rely on an unskilled workforce, a two-tier management system, and nothing more high-tech than Mumbai's train network. 5,000-strong cooperative, recognized as one of the world's most efficient logistics systems. Unlike stuff like Grab and Deliveroo and Uber Eats or India's homegrown equivalents like Swiggy and Runner, Dabbawalas do not deliver restaurant food. Instead, they pick up home-cooked meals, mostly from customers' own houses, and deliver them to their workplace in time for lunch. Even Richard Branson and has spent a day or two learning their secrets and how they've managed to do it. We thought we'd discuss this a little bit and then ask you guys, you know, a simple question. Which services in Malaysia might improve immediately with just a little bit of tech and innovation? Now, I've got a clip that I'll play you. In fact, I'll play the clip right now. It's about how the Dabbawalas kind of work and how they organize themselves. And this is a little bit what it sounds like.
The dabbas or the lunch boxes have a color coding scheme which makes sure that they get to the right destination. The structure of this organization is fairly flat. It has just three levels. First, the governing body. Second, the team leads or the supervisors. And third, the dabbawalas. And everyone is an equal shareholder in this organization. There are no bosses and the earnings are equally divided.
Simple structure. Keep it simple, stupid. You know, too many cooks spoil the broth and all that. This is a very simple way of looking at things, right? That's what we're leading with. That's our discussion of today. We'll then be moving on a little bit later on how the ministry are to start computer programming school. Is this a little bit like too little too late? Are we behind the curve on this one? Can we kind of claw our way back? And then we'll be wrapping up with the first foldable failure of Bengate, I suppose, 2.0.
Did you just come up with that?
It was like a flash of inspiration. Right, so we've all had our issues with things here in Malaysia. You know, delivery services, queuing times, one thing or another. Efficiency is not Malaysia's strong point, right? And let's be honest. And we all live this one. We love our laid-back way of life. But it has its consequences, does it not? And me and Ords were talking just a little bit outside the studio, and a couple of things that irk me in particular that I've noticed is very Asia-centric, not necessarily Malaysia-centric. Let's say, for example, I go to one of the bigger malls, and I go to a department store within that mall, and I decide that I want to buy some aftershave, for example. I've picked the aftershave that I want. I then have to get a receipt from one person. I then have to walk all the way to the other side of the store and take that receipt, pay for it, take that receipt back to the person who's then going to give me the perfume. And then if I have anything like guarantee or anything, I then have to go to another desk. If I want to use a voucher, I have to go to another desk. Why is that? Why can't they just have a point of sale system where I've chosen my aftershave, right? I mean, and I understand, like I said to Ords, when I was living in China, and it was socialism with communist values is what they say. You can't call it communism anymore. I understood why they employed lots of people. You know, everybody needs a job.
Right.
I got it. But here, when that's not necessarily the case, why is that so? Can you enlighten me on this?
No.
Right. Okay.
I know a lot of places and just companies that you work for. You know, so this was the system and this was the process that worked maybe 5 years later, and nobody went around to correct it,
right,
to shorten it, didn't think about it, you know, and it's human nature, I guess, right? I mean, beyond organization. So that's the way it's always been done, you know, that sort of thing.
Then that's when you need Taylorism. You need a man to come in with a stopwatch and go click. Yep. Why does it take 40 minutes to get served? Again, let's look at stuff like waiting to go and see a doctor or waiting to go to the hospital. Odds.
Don't get me started on that. If you have a parent or you personally have to visit and get your checkups done at a government hospital, I'm not going to name names, but you know, sometimes you know it can be a whole day ordeal. You have to go in early, go and take your number, then wait to see the doctor. And then after that, once you're done with that, then go down to the pharmacy and then wait for, take a number and then wait for that again. Mm-hmm. And I'm just wondering, okay, that's fine if you're, you know, you're middle-aged and, you know, you can take the day off and spend the entire day in the hospital to get this sorted, that's fine. But if you are elderly and then you'll have to go one day for your eye checkup and do that whole thing, and then another day for maybe your knees, and another day for your kidneys, or, you know, you see a cardiologist or something like that. And so that is way too much time spent in a government hospital. And then you've got all these waiting rooms just crowded, overflowing with people. So I'm thinking, like, a little bit of tech here could go a long way.
Yeah.
What if we had an app that could, you know, tell you, okay, your appointment today is fixed for today, the Thursday the 18th of April. And, you know, there are 200 people who also have appointments. Please leave an hour from now in order to make it to your appointment. That way you're not overcrowding waiting rooms. And then when you're done, why does it take so long for, like, there needs to be a piece of paper that goes from the doctor's clinic all the way down to the pharmacy, and then someone's going to look at it and then pass it over to someone else who's going to take the medication down, and then there's going to be someone else passing it to you as well.
And if that person has at some point decided to go to the washroom, or they've decided to get lunch, or they've had to make a phone call or anything else, that entire process is interrupted.
Yes, it just gets delayed even further. And like I said, you know, it's fine if you're middle aged or if you're young and you can spare that time to do that. And but, you know, the people who, I mean, I have taken my mother-in-law and my parents to the hospital, and they wait for hours, and it's just really unfair for the elderly.
Right. And it's just, you're just wasting time, you know, for you, right? Because you've taken time to take care of them, right? No, but I shudder, just the whole thing about getting your passport done. And they're really trying to be efficient, right? But then, like, I got to get there and be in the front of the line and everything. So it's like, okay, thank God the passport's just once every 5 years. But it's just like things like that, I just shudder.
But didn't at one point, like a couple of years ago, I think we came down to having to renew our passport in just an hour, right? There was like a little machine that you can drop your passport in and then like come and collect it in an hour's time. I remember it being that efficient, or was it just me?
Well, here's the weird thing. When I was living in China and I got to renew my passport then, I took it into one of the British government offices over there. I dropped it off in the morning and I collected it 2 hours later. And I was amazed, right? English efficiency is not very efficient sometimes, but doing it in China was great. Then I move here, and now recently all of our government offices have now decided that I can't renew my passport here. I have to send my passport home to be renewed in the UK, and they have to send it me back.
Wow.
And my brain is like, why is this happening? You know, when we're supposed to be at the height of efficiency of 2019, majority of that stuff should be able to be done online, yet I still have to send it away.
You know, another place where you could, you know, when you get caught by the cops, right, and if you can pay your summons,
right,
then there.
There and then,
properly, efficiently,
You
know, that's a place where people say,
pain points all over the place.
Some people pay their summons on the spot.
Yeah.
Exactly.
If you know what I mean.
Exactly. So that's the problem, right? If you're able to do that legit
With that in
mind, I think
mind,
okay. Okay.
Let's hold on to those thoughts. Let's take a very short break, Audrey. I know where you're going. Stop it. We've got some music coming up from The Strokes with The Modern Age. It is The Modern Age, ladies and gents. Let us know what you think about this. What pain points have you got in terms of efficiency? What can we improve upon immediately? We're looking at all kinds of stuff, whether it's government services, whether it's food delivery services, whether it's, you know, hospitals and stuff like paying your summonses, just stuff that with a little bit of tech, a little bit of innovation, we can move forward much, much quicker. And I mean that literally. Let's take a break. You listen to BizBytes here on BFM 89.9.
Be free, Malaysians. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise BizBytes. I'm Rich Bradbury in the studio with
Frida Liu
and Audrey Raj.
We're talking a little bit today about efficiency and some of the things that we'd like to see improved here in Malaysia and how they can be improved. We've asked you guys for some suggestions. This is because we've been speaking about the Dabawalas. They are a 125-year-old food delivery service from Mumbai. Six Sigma rated. Essentially, they deliver home-delivered food to the office with, on average, 3.4 mistakes per 1 million. Always on time, never late. It's incredible that they do this. And they do it via bicycle.
Because it's India and it's a maze there, right?
And they can deliver anywhere in the city.
You know, they take their bicycle, they jump on a train, they give it to you, it's still there, everything. It's not the wrong order, it's the right stuff. You know, so we're asking, you know, they're not using technology, yet we have plenty of technology. Even they, the Dabawalas, are saying that we don't really want to use technology. We've got a little clip we'll play in a few minutes. But let's look at some of the stuff that we've got via social media.
Okay, so this is via WhatsApp. I know my rules. I spend 4 to 6 hours in my HKL appointment each time, and AI could accumulate the number of patients of their last appointment according to the card to a day's appointment of who is present in the waiting list, so to move the crowd on a given day, right? So it's good because you find out, the doctor's gone home, right? And after visiting the doctor on the top floor, the AI would alert prescriptions to the pharmacist on the ground floor to reduce a second waiting time.
Right.
Exactly.
Simple.
Exactly.
What have you got? What's over there?
So this one is from Rambling Mind, who says, I think this is in response to your question about why when we go to department stores, we have to collect a cheat from one person and then go all the way to the cashier and then come back and collect your products from the person who gave you that cheat, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so Rambling Mind says, that's due to the business model. Jusco is just renting out floor space for some of these retailers and provides POS collection services. When you buy, it's the retailer's inventory, not Jusco.
It's just not right is what it is. There you go. That's much of my opinion. Right. We have a little clip. So we play this first. Frida, you managed to interview somebody from Dabawalas.
Way back when, in 2010.
2010, whoa, was it? Let's have a quick listen to what he had to say then. It's about a minute long. So get comfortable. This is really colourful. It's brilliant.
I'm here with Manish Tripathi, chairman and patron at the legendary Mumbai Dabawalas, which has a Six Sigma rating of 99.999999 rating, as they only make an error one in every 60 million deliveries, which basically means you don't make any mistakes. Now, you've enjoyed extensive success, and even the likes of Prince Charles and Sir Richard Branson have visited you, and the industry has grown without IT. So why the need for IT now?
Yes, certainly, yes, you're absolutely right. If you look at our organization, is a very fine example how you can achieve success even without using any IT. But if you ask me why for 120 years our member never used the IT, the reason is that our members are very much not educated, they are semi-literate, so they cannot handle the complexity of IT. The reason number two, if we start using the IT in our operation, maybe cost to serve the customer will increase and we will start losing our customer. Why this business is running for 120 years? Simple reason. Customer has to pay very nominal fee to take his homemade food every day to prove that he loves his wife and is, want to have a very hygienic food. So this is the reason why our business is running. If we start using IT, then cost to serve the customer will increase and we will start losing out our customer. But yes, we have recently started the website, mydabawala.com. But this website is not for our own member. This website is primarily for our customers and other people to get connected to us so that they can have the information about us.
Who picked up on the important thing in that? I think we all did.
Eating your home cooked food to is prove. The way you yeah. prove your you love go. To your mm. wife.
There you go.
That yeah. was all you got.
That was all you got.
Okay. So I'm just listening to that because it's 10 years, right? And she was talking about how with technology, it might increase the cost. It's so different right now, right? Mm. I'm sure in 10 years, technology has advanced so much. And even he was saying about how the most of them are illiterate. I don't know if that's, that. You know, I mean,
if that's the case
yeah,
now?
Now, because with smartphones, right? I don't think you need to be that literate. You know, so there are ways around it. A lot has changed in the last 10 years.
I mean, I'm just looking at how much they get paid right now. I mean, they're looking at it's 12,000 rupees, so 140 pounds. So that's about 700 ringgit, which is a good wage, mm. you know, for somebody like that.
For someone who's unskilled.
For somebody yeah. who's unskilled, yeah. And yeah. I suppose when you're employing people who have a few more skills and they know how to use IT, and the cost of that is going to go up, I suspect, a little bit. And I know there are companies over in India who want and try to get into the food delivery service, mm-hmm. but they in Mumbai in particular, mm. but they are just edged out every single time.
So here's the thing: you get paid well. Then you've got it's essentially a cheap service. You pay less than £10, I think, for a monthly subscription. So that is what less than 50 ringgit yeah. a month. So it's a cheap service. The dabbawalas get paid well. There is demand for it. You know, it's something that's like high frequency. There's demand for it. It's not like what happens with food delivery services here. You get a call or an order here and there. This is like on a daily basis, yeah. every weekday. And food is important to Indians as it is to Malaysians as well. You know, so this is, I guess, a creation born out of necessity. They want to eat home cooked food. They feel like food sourced elsewhere is unhealthy, and of course, this is the number one thing for me. Cooperation from the public and from the police. So apparently, if the dabbawalas are on their bikes and they are heading somewhere, traffic will weave away, will move aside in order to let them weave through the traffic. And policemen will also, you know, just wave them through because they know that they're under time.
That doesn't even happen for ambulances here.
Yeah.
That's the thing, right? So I think a combination of all these things is why I think the dabbawalas, I think it was FedEx that said that they envy the dabbawalas and their service. Mm.
I wonder if things will, you know, subtly change as more women enter the workforce, though, and not going to be cooking from home so much anymore.
So here's the thing.
That's a good point.
They feel like, the dabbawalas feel like their major disruptor right now are two things. So they've got like a new Mumbai rail network that has come up. It's their metro, sorry. It's called the Navi Mumbai Metro, and they are not allowed to use that infrastructure. But then here's what they say. They say, we don't need the Navi Metro service because, you know, it's only like 12 stations covering 7 kilometers or something like that, and we work well without it anyways. The other disruptor is the fact that more women are shedding their aprons. And so what they've done to counter that is these dabbawalas, their own wives are cooking, and now it's created a whole catering circle. How cool is that?
These guys are smart.
Yeah.
They've also done things like, I was reading that if when you are wanting to send your food to a dabbawala, if the cooking isn't finished and you haven't put it outside in time for more than 3 times, they just drop you.
Yes.
You just get dropped from their list. Simple as that.
You only get like 2 or 3 chances.
Wow.
And then after that, they drop you.
Mm. Okay, ladies and gents, give us some feedback. 0187-89-8899 or get us on WhatsApp or get us on Twitter. We're at BFM Radio. Do we have any more messages we want to address? Anything on Twitter?
We'll come back after the break.
All right, let's take a short break with some music. Modern English up next with I Melt With You here on Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.